He spoke of having missiles that could reach the United States and having a button on his desk. President Trump made it clear, America will not be bullied. America will not be threatened.
North Korea opens communication with South Korea even as tensions rise with the United States. It's Thursday, January 4th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm David Byrd in Washington. Remember, you're part of the program. Join us on VOA Asia Facebook. Also ahead, squalid conditions lead to disease in a Rohingya refugee camp. Pakistan's former prime minister criticizes President Trump, and the U.S. government quashes a Chinese company's bid for MoneyGram. It's all on today's VOA Asia. North Korea has reopened a cross-border communications channel with South Korea, the first significant sign that the two bitter rivals are seeking to improve relations after years of rising tensions. South Korean officials say they received a call from their North Korean counterparts over the hotline Wednesday. It's based in the border village of Panmunjom, located in the demilitarized zone that separates the North and the South. That hotline had been dormant since February of 2016 when Pyongyang cut off communications after Seoul pulled out of a jointly run industrial complex in response to North Korea's continued nuclear and ballistic missile testing. The move followed an offer of high-level talks made Tuesday by South Korea in the wake of Kim Jong-un's New Year's Day remarks about being open to dialogue and possible participation in next month's Winter Olympic Games in South Korea. Kim Jong-un also warned Monday that the nuclear button sits on his desk. U.S. President Donald Trump late Tuesday said he also has a nuclear button that is bigger and more powerful. VOA contributor Greta Van Susteren spoke with Vice President Mike Pence about the president's tweets and whether a war of words helps or hinders U.S. policy.
The president has tweeted that he has a bigger button than Kim Jong-un. Is he playing with fire with Kim Jong-un and sort of tweeting, having this Twitter war with him back and forth?
President Trump has provided the kind of clear leadership on the world stage that's made measurable progress, particularly with regard to North Korea. And the message the president sent in the wake of Kim Jong-un's New Year's message, where while on the one hand he talked about wanting to reach out to his neighbors to the south, at the same moment he spoke of having missiles that could reach the United States and having a button on his desk, President Trump made it clear America will not be bullied, America will not be threatened. And that the United States of America has, by being clear, managed to marshal an unprecedented amount of economic and diplomatic pressure on North Korea. And after decades of North Korea stalling and ignoring the world community and continuing to develop nuclear and ballistic missiles, we're now literally beginning to see some movement among nations in the region. China is doing more than ever before. China needs to do more, but they're doing more than ever before to isolate North Korea economically and diplomatically. And I truly do believe that making it clear that all options are on the table, that as the president has done, making it clear the United States of America has the capacity to defend our people far beyond anything North Korea could imagine, but also making it clear that if North Korea will abandon their nuclear and ballistic missile ambitions, if they will dismantle those programs, there's an opportunity for a peaceable solution.
The president's tweets were met with mixed reaction when the U.S. Senate returned to Washington on Wednesday. Maryland Democrat Ben Cardin, the top Democrat on the Foreign Relations Committee, called the tweets embarrassing, counterproductive, and dangerous. But Republican Senator John Barrasso of Wyoming praised the president, saying he is actually dealing with the problem at hand. Nuclear experts have pointed out, in fact, that no physical button for the president to launch a nuclear attack exists. Rather, U.S. presidents have access at all times to communications equipment for ordering a nuclear launch. We invite you to read more about our top story by following us on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the VOAnews.com website. These are among the top Asia stories trending on VOAnews.com. U.S. urges further pressure on North Korea ahead of possible missile test. Pakistan extends Afghan refugees' stay for a month. Top U.S. commander wants more aggressive Afghan push this year. African conservationists praise China's ivory ban. And China-Taiwan relations head into another year of stalemate. Expanded coverage of these stories and more is on Facebook at VOA Asia and also on the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm David Byrd in Washington. Since Myanmar's military began a crackdown on Rohingya in August, hundreds of thousands of refugees have fled and are crowded into camps in neighboring Bangladesh. At Balukali refugee camp, unclean water, cramped living quarters, squalid conditions, and other factors are creating a prime environment for outbreaks of preventable diseases among an estimated 650,000 Rohingya. As Steve Sanford reports, while thousands of doses of cholera vaccine have been given out, another deadly disease, diphtheria, has emerged as a new challenge.
Here in Balukali refugee camp, dirty water and squalid conditions are prime breeding grounds for outbreaks of preventable diseases. While 900 doses of oral cholera vaccine have been distributed in the camps, another contagious bacterial infection has emerged.
Diphtheria is a vaccine-preventable disease. It's an illustration of how the Rohingya population that are currently living in the makeshift settlements here had very little access to health care from their place of origin in Myanmar.
Myanmar's health sector is rated among the worst in the world, particularly in the ethnic regions, where conflict and poverty limit medical treatment. Now, potential diphtheria carriers must get antitoxins and antibiotics to prevent further spread of the bacterium in the body and kill it.
Find all the suspected cases in the camps and to get them all here. I start the antibiotic treatment and keep them isolated for 48 hours.
Doctors Without Borders and health partners like the International Federation of Red Cross isolate measles and diphtheria patients to prevent further outbreaks. But one of the biggest challenges for health workers is getting to remote locations where potential outbreaks can occur.
They live in areas that are difficult to reach. You cannot reach them by cars or by tom-toms because of it's not roads, it's dirt roads. So they will have to carry their patients to where they can get treatment.
With Bangladesh's Ministry of Health implementing a vaccination campaign to prevent future outbreaks of diphtheria, at least some members of the next generation of Rohingya will be protected from vaccine-preventable diseases. Steve Sanford for VOA News in Cox's Bazar, Bangladesh.
Happening now in Asia, a U.S. sea exploration company has dispatched a vessel to resume the search for Malaysian Airlines flight MH370, which disappeared in March of 2014. The aircraft and its disappearance is considered one of modern aviation's greatest mysteries. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're happy you're with us on this Thursday program of VOA Asia. Pakistan's former Prime Minister, Nawaz Sharif, has criticized U.S. President Donald Trump as being, in his words, ignorant and ungrateful after the U.S. leader accused Islamabad of harboring terrorists. In a New Year's Day tweet, Trump said that the United States had foolishly given Pakistan more than $33 billion U.S. dollars in aid, and had received nothing in return but lies and deceit, saying that Pakistan gives safe haven to the terrorists we hunt in Afghanistan. At a news conference in Islamabad Wednesday, Sharif said that Trump's words were unfortunate and that a head of state should always keep diplomatic norms in mind.
imdad ke taane na diye jaye.
He said, we should not be taunted about aid, which was not aid, but was given under the Coalition Support Fund. Our self-respect should not be hit. We don't need such aid. The U.S. will not take our support in the fight against terrorism and then later taunt us. Sharif made his comments following his latest court appearance on three corruption charges registered against him since he was ousted from office in July by a court order from Pakistan's Supreme Court. Sharif, his daughter, Maryam Nawaz, and her husband, Mohammed Safdar, are facing trial on corruption charges stemming from documents leaked from a Panamanian law firm. Sharif was indicted in October and has pleaded not guilty. The court adjourned the case until the 9th of January.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
This news from VOA Asia, a low-caste Dalit leader has called off a planned strike in India's financial capital after 2 days of clashes and traffic disruptions by Dalit protesters. Protests erupted Monday throughout the state of Maharashtra after a man was killed in clashes surrounding a celebration of the anniversary of a battle in which low-caste Dalits fought alongside the British. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for top stories and great features to see and share. This is VOA Asia. China's Ant Financial has ended a $1.2 billion bid to buy the U.S. money transfer company MoneyGram. The move came after the U.S. government rejected the deal. Ant Financial is owned by Chinese billionaire Jack Ma and has to pay a $30 million breakup fee. For more perspective, I spoke with VOA economics correspondent Millar Sega, who told me that the move could be evidence of a cooling in the relationship between Washington and Beijing. The Chinese are wanting to acquire this money transfer company, and the committee that rules on financial transactions and security issues in the United States is what stepped in. It's called CFIUS. Now, what exactly is that?
The Committee on Financial on Foreign Investments in the United States. Essentially, it's a multi-agency kind of panel that looks at security types of issues, national security issues that might be affecting or might impact any kinds of foreign investments coming into the United States. China being a big concern these days because of the rapid growth, and you know, financially and technologically.
Now, this comes in the wake of President Trump's speech back before the Christmas holidays, where he listed Russia and China as economic rivals.
Yes.
Is this kind of blowback? Do you think this is part of the
you
Trump administration?
David, it's an interesting development. It's sort of the United States looking behind its shoulder and saying, uh-oh, we've got some competition, right? And they're facing that competition from China particularly. So you're seeing this number one, number two kind of race for the economy. But what I'm seeing here is an interesting shift in the dynamics between the relationship between the United States and China. Remember Jack Ma when he met with President Trump right after the inauguration?
Sure.
It was kind of a cordial meeting, right? And Jack Ma said, I promise 1 million American jobs with my companies here, on the guise that he was planning on investing a little bit more money here in the United States. Apparently, this particular investment failed.
And now, from what I've read about this, the company Ant Financial is just going to take its marbles and go elsewhere. They're going to start trying to do the same kind of deals with other countries.
I imagine they will. And I think there's a great deal of suspicion right now among U.S. officials as to what China is all about. And there's this race going on. So I think what we will see in the future as a result of this ruling is that expect a lot more scrutiny on Chinese investments going in the future. Keep in mind that, in 2012, the Chinese investments into the U.S. was $18.6 billion. In 2016, that was $130 billion. So it's really increased by a tremendous amount. So I think that trend is only going to continue. So Chinese companies are going to be looking for opportunities here in the United States. And the United States are going to be increasingly suspicious of any kind of Chinese investment.
All right. Thank you very much. Millar Sega covers economics for us, and you can find more of his reports on our website, voanews.com. And we should add that the Chinese Ministry of Foreign Affairs commented on this move by CFIUS. Spokesman Geng Shuang said, "We have repeatedly pointed out that the nature of China-U.S. economic and trade relations is mutually beneficial and win-win. The Chinese government has always encouraged and supported Chinese enterprises to carry out investment cooperation in other countries with market principles and in accordance with the bylaws and regulations of those countries," the spokesperson added. "We hope the U.S. side can provide a fair and predictable environment for the investment and development of Chinese enterprises." Coming up, we'll hear about a simulation that helps school teachers protect themselves against school shootings. This is VOA Asia. We have this news from VOA Asia. The Afghan spy agency says it arrested 13 suspected Islamic State militants in a raid in Kabul. Last week, an Islamic State suicide bomber attacked a Shiite Muslim cultural center, killing more than 40 people and wounding nearly 90 others. All the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. The Christmas season is over for many of us, and if you got your favorite electronic gadget, you're probably still trying to figure out how it works. But the new crop is just around the corner. That's because the 2018 Consumer Electronics Show opens next Monday in Las Vegas, Nevada. As George Pootich tells us, artificial intelligence and autonomous vehicles are just two of the products expected to grab the lion's share of the attention.
Year after year, the Las Vegas Consumer Electronics Show has been breaking records. Last January, more than 4,000 companies exhibited their products, attracting more than 180,000 industry professionals. Not surprising, because at CES, they can see almost everything that matters in the tech world.
2018, we're seeing more and more with robotics, artificial intelligence, devices which help us stay healthy and predict whether or not we're going to get sick or what kind of treatment we should have. We're seeing a tremendous movement to self-driving vehicles, and we're also, the Internet of Things really does overlay everything, is devices that can talk and with artificial intelligence learn about us, learn what we do, learn how they could help serve us.
Professionals say they expect further developments in smaller entertainment robots, as well as large service machines intended for hotel lobbies, airports, and other public places.
We're working with malls, and now we have the other smaller robots that will be going into franchises where it can take a credit card swipe and kind of assist in the order processing at franchises and food franchises.
Alexa.
Personal assistants, or smart speakers, have been gaining popularity, so CES 2018 may bring a range of new devices that respond to voice commands and perform various tasks. As cities are increasing their fight against pollution, while batteries are getting better and cheaper, all kinds of personal transportation, such as electric scooters, skateboards, and bikes, may be on display.
You lean, and the cycleboard follows and steers in the direction that you lean, so your body mass is always on the correct side.
Schools, businesses, and even private homes around the world now use 3D printers to manufacture models, prototypes, and marketable products.
It is around 4 to 6 times faster than a normal 3D printer.
In the smart home department, expect a range of new refrigerators, dishwashers, robotic vacuum cleaners, window cleaners, even new models of toilet seats.
And the beauty of that is not only when they're in the home, but also anywhere they are, they can access it remotely.
Attraction and affordability of virtual reality headsets is on the rise, so some surprises are to be expected, while drone enthusiasts will undoubtedly be delighted with new models. CES 2018 opens January 8th, so stay tuned. George Putich, VOA News.
It's a sad fact that gun violence is a reality of American life, and across the country, more than a dozen people were shot to death on the first day of 2018. Those shootings happen everywhere, in homes, shopping centers, on the street, and more and more in schools. There were 9 school shootings in the United States in 2017. That left 15 people dead and 18 others wounded. But now, as VOA's Kevin Enix reports, a new simulation program is designed to help teachers and students stay safe from a shooter.
So right here we have Tabitha's going through the character selection screen. We have different types of characters. Suspect comes with rifles. Suspects can be adults or children.
It's like a million other video games you've seen, but this one is no game. It's meant to simulate what happens when a gunman enters a school.
The suspect's going to go in and start creating some chaos. The teacher will show you how the teacher can respond to that with the students by taking different actions, lining them up against the wall.
It is difficult to watch, but the programmers say this simulation can save lives.
A lot of these features allow teachers to test out things that have been tried. For example, Virginia Tech, they found that barricading the doors worked very well. So this gives different school districts the ability to try out different things, see what works for their given environment.
The goal is to give teachers, administrators, maybe even police, the opportunity to virtually walk through an active shooter event on campus.
So experience builds survivability. The more experience you have, the better your chances of survival are. So this allows you to practice and have multiple experiences, know what works, what doesn't work.
Creating the simulator was difficult for everyone involved.
We sat down and listened to dispatch tapes of events, various events, and it gives you chills when you're sitting and thinking about, you know, what's happening during those tapes and how might we better prepare law enforcement and fire departments and all these people who have to deal with this.
The shooters, children, and administrators in the game operate on artificial intelligence, which allows the programmers to test different safety strategies to see how they work. The simulation is unpleasant and jarring, but the programmers say they are doing their best to prepare teachers for the worst that might happen.
We can prevent a lot of these deaths. We can prepare people better. We can make this a safer environment if we can get this into the hands of the right people.
The program is already being used by first responders, but the Army Research Lab plans to make the school version available soon, free of charge. Kevin Enix, VOA News.
And we'd remind you, if you'd like to see video versions of any of the stories you hear on our program, you can check out our Facebook page, VOA Asia, or you can log on to the voanews.com website. You have been listening to VOA Asia from Washington. You can get our program on iTunes and SoundCloud. You can download our podcast and take us with you. You can also find us at voanews.com. And be sure to let us hear from you, VOA Asia Facebook, and our email, voaasia@voanews.com. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our director, Tracy Carter, and our engineer, Dave Magnus. I'm David Byrd in Washington. Enjoy the rest of your day.